Our Mission Mexico team came back last night around, got back in Whatcom County around 10 p.m. last night. There's eight members that went on the team, and they're each going to share just for a couple of minutes about the faithfulness of God, and we're going to be doing worship songs. They'll share worship songs, so it should be a very blessed time, and then we'll bring the message this morning as well from the gospel. The word rejoice is what we're going to be looking at. So I'd like to read, since Matt Fawcett, he was one of the team leaders, him and JJ teamed up on this mission trip. Matt had to go to work. He's a firefighter this morning. And so I says, can I read what you would want to say? And so he emailed this. So again, each team member is going to share just briefly this morning. And I want to read what Matt had to say. Matt said this. Matt Fawcett said, I want to thank the church family for their support. Because of your giving, we were able to bless the orphanage and the community by purchasing 55 gallons of primer, 80 gallons of paint, 15 food baskets, concrete for a 10 by 20 slab, and we also paid two workers full day wages. We were able to deliver the food baskets and wood to people in the community. God has really used this church family to bless the church family that we have in Mexico. Matt says, I was really blessed by how encouraged the church family was by our presence and how each of our team members have built a great relationship this week. He concludes, God has used John 17 to teach me some great things this week, and the shared testimonies of each of our members has taught me many things as well. So let's clap here for Matt. He's at station five, but maybe he heard that. I don't know. So what we're going to do is Royce is going to come up right now and share. And after Royce, Tony will share. And then we're going to worship again. And then we'll have a couple of other team members. So let's welcome Royce.
All right. First off, I'd like to just thank everybody for their prayers and just the support that we got through this. It wouldn't have been possible without putting God first and just giving him the reins. This trip was just eye-opening, just from the minute we built the team, just the way God orchestrated that and just put everybody had gifts that just really shined through this trip. And it was just awesome to see how everybody just came together and their individual talents got put to use on this trip. So, and just from the putting everybody together and just the travel, it couldn't have gone any smoother. I mean, God is definitely just guiding the whole thing, and we gave him the reins, and he just did an awesome work through the beginning. I'm a very, like scheduling things, I couldn't have scheduled it like this. I mean, just... There's no way. And that was part of my prayer, is just, God, take control. And he did. It was just awesome the way it came together. So I just want to thank everybody for their support and prayer. I mean, it was just awesome. So.
I told Pastor Tom the worst, one of the worst things than flying is talking in front of people. So, I'd like to thank everybody too, and just seeing God's faithfulness through just everything that was done, but just building relationships with our team, it's just great. And we didn't just paint a building; we forged friendships and relationships with our family down there, and it was great. That's it.
Jason Sanchez was an intern here for a while, and then after he left here, he went to Europe and was part of the Bible College in Europe, and then went to help assist his dad in ministry in Puyallup, Pastor Ron Sanchez, which is where he's been. The church in Puyallup, Calvary Chapel in Puyallup, called South Hill, they are part of the Calvary Chapel ministry in Mexico. This location in Mexico is where El Paso, Texas is. You drive about 5 hours south and then that's the destination. So maybe that helps in our mind. So they've had a church going on there, but in the hearts of Pastor Jason and others was a desire, is a desire to have an orphanage there. So the structure has been built, and our team was down there to help with painting and some other things. They're in the paperwork process right now of bringing it to a place where they could start to receive children. I spoke with Jason on the phone last night, and he mentioned that hopefully, maybe in June or in that time frame, that may take place. They are wanting to do everything correctly and everything in a way that honors the Lord, which we all appreciate regarding that. So when Pastor Jason shared with us the need in Mexico, for us as Calvary Chapel Northwest, this is not just a one-time visit and we're finished. This is an ongoing relationship that we're committed to helping the gospel and helping the children in Mexico. And I just want to say thank you to each one of you that are a prayerful part, a financial part of what we're doing. Great job. I asked Jason, please give me an evaluation of our first team down there. He says, without any hesitation, it was a 10 out of 10. I go, it can't be, because that intimidates the next team going. Move it down a little bit. But no, he was so blessed. We're going to continue our testimonies, and I think, Kim, you're going to be the next one, followed by Brad, and we sure appreciate it. Let's welcome Kim.
Hi, I'm Kim. I just enjoyed the welcoming arms, and they kissed a lot down there, and they are just so welcoming. When you go into somebody's house, they want you to sit down, and they just welcome you with open arms, and they just want to talk to you, and I just liked the relationships that are as our team, the relationships, getting to know everybody, because I didn't know like hardly any, like bits and bits of them, but not really get to know them. So that was really awesome. And being Hannah, being the only girl, we get to have like, we prayed together at night and just talked and had a great, built that relationship. So it's just awesome.
Wow, this is weird. So, how to condense 9 days into 2 minutes. It's kind of rough. I just thinking about some stuff back there before we went down there to paint. That was kind of the main work focus. And we were pretty much, I would say, 80% done after the very first day. It was just... It was like, thank you, Lord, this is, go for it. Just tied up some loose ends on Tuesday and Wednesday. But I think the thing that really blessed me on Friday night, after we flew into El Paso, stayed the night in a beautiful motel there that didn't think we deserved. But anyway, we met with Pastor Luis of, I got to say this right, Chapilla Calvario de Bashenova. And his wife, wonderful wife, Kim. And we kind of just talked to them and, kind of getting the feel of things. And one of the things I remember him saying was that he was really encouraged that we were there. And that kind of triggered something in me, because I feel like one of my gifts is encouraging others. And so it's like, wow, this is going to be cool. Pastor Luis and I got to spend a lot of time together, driving around, and just worked out that way. Went to a gentleman in the church who had a major surgery, and, being a nurse, I was able to kind of give him some advice, he and his wife, and it was really cool. Help out a little bit there. But, one thing Pastor Luis, started about 2.5-3 years ago as a real intense Bible study class called Leo, L-E-O, and it stands, the L is leer in Spanish. That means to read, The E stand is entender, to understand, and then the O is obediencer, to obey. So they kind of go through the word and just read it and then discuss it. And we were able to sit in on the one of the classes on Sunday night, going through Revelation. I think it was 10, 11, 12, something like that. It was intense. Wow. But anyway, got to ride around with Pastor Luis a couple times. One time I remember I was waiting for him in the truck at a hardware store, and I just had this idea, you know, I'm going to give him a nickname, a new name, and I'm going to call him Pastor Leo, because I really felt, after spending some time with him, that this man really lived that. He read, he understood the word, and I'll tell you that in a second. And definitely applied and obeyed. What a man of God. The other reason I wanted to call him that, Leo, is when we got to the border, we crossed and we got our visas, and everything just went unbelievably well. It was miraculous. There was a gentleman standing in the room with us, and real friendly guy, and he was talking to us and you know asking some things, and Pastor Pastor was telling him, you know, that we're a Christian group, we're going to be painting the orphanage and all, and so we got all done with checking in, and I was kind of hanging around with Pastor Luis. And this guy came over and talked to him some more, and they went outside, and Pastor Luis asked me to get his Bible from the van. So went to the van, got it and everything, and came back, and Pastor Luis sat down with this guy, and I was right next to him. I don't understand Spanish really well, but a little bit, but I could definitely get the gist of what he was doing, what he was saying. He went to John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. All things, through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. And then he took him over to Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And I started realizing that this guy had a problem with Jesus being God, and it turns out he was Jehovah's Witness. And Pastor Leo, just started taking him through the Word, so many different passages, and just drilling this guy, and he would not let up. Finally, this guy got on his cell phone, called his wife. It was just hilarious to me. I was like, oh my goodness. And his wife couldn't help him, because I realized he was facing Leo the lion. And if he hadn't backed down, he would have been devoured. So I just was really impressed with that. And so, thank
you. Okay. It's kind of hard because I'm still trying to wrap my brain around everything that happened over the past week. But I think for me, it was just seeing how accepting everybody in that community was. And I remember sitting in the dining room area, and a kid came in with 5 pieces of candy and came to all 5 of us and asked if we wanted it before she took one bite. And it was just, I thought, a place like America has so much and will barely give anything. And a place like Bashina has very little and will give everything. And I think it was very heartbreaking for me to know that I'm like that. And so I think that's one thing that the Lord really helped me, is to be content with who I am and what I have, because there's a lot of people that don't have what I do. And so another thing, I went with my dad, so that was a huge blessing for me. Not only getting to know the other team
members, but also to get to know my dad in the spiritual way that I did. So, yeah.
So that's me. I got notes. So I wanted to share a few things. I was very thankful for going, thankful for the team, thankful for the reception, the hospitality, and thankful for the prayers. I was going to share just a few observations to kind of paint the picture for you guys of some of the things that I saw there. And Hannah shared one of them, which that was a true blessing to observe. This little girl, you know, she was about this tall. And then later, I think 2 days later after that, we learned a little bit more about her. When we went into her home, that was probably, I don't know, it was about 15 feet by 10 feet. It was heated by a wood stove, had a roof that was made of kind of mud. The bathroom was this little, probably 4 foot by 4 foot outside area with a bucket. And so this little girl, these pieces of candy came to each one of us. And I think she had two pieces afterwards, and she was happy about those two pieces of candy that she had, and that was a real blessing. I observed three young men. They were about 22 years old, and they were just full of love and life, and they were always cutting up, playing with each other, and just being kind and loving to everyone that they interacted with, and that was just an amazing observation and blessing to see that. We were on our way back, and we just imagine this on Interstate 5 there, that there's just multiple roadblocks of police that you just have to stop, and they have the authority to make you do whatever they want. You know, they can make you get out of the van, make you open up all your stuff, have that full authority. And so on the way back, we got stopped by one, and it was looking like it was going to be like that we were going to get searched and be a bit of a hassle. And it was just what Nieves, the Pastor Luis's son, was talking with him. And as soon as the words came out that we were brothers and sisters from Washington, brothers and sisters in Christ, it was, oh, okay, go on. And we no more hold up after that. I observed a team of eight people that were, I guess, a little more than acquaintances, but that at the start of it, and then these strangers in Mexico 9 days later were embracing in hugs and fist bumps and just true love, walking away and somewhat in pain to separate. So that was a real blessing. And if I have a couple more, maybe a few more I'd like to share, maybe a couple of scriptures that were really on my heart. Only let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ. And we truly saw that from the actions and the behaviors of the folks down there. Do all things without complaint. So they truly had, from our perspective, had lots of things to complain about. They did. And I did not see one even inkling of a complaint. Let your gentleness be known to all men. And if you notice in the scripture, this is Philippians 4:5, it says to all men, not just some men. All men. And so for me, I don't always let my gentleness be known to all men. And that was a powerful learning for me, that it's not about the words, but it's about how you interact with people. And I felt their gentleness, and they let it be known to all of us, every one of us that was there. So that's pretty much what I'm going to share. Thanks.
I was so proud of our team that went down, and just the different personalities. And sometimes you wonder, like, how are these personality is kind of when the rubber meets the road. How will it play out? You have, you know, people that do construction stuff for a living and are really, really good at it. Brad painted for a lot of years. Royce, you just, if you're not careful, he'll just do it all, you know, everywhere you go. But he's just gifted. Matt's very gifted. It's like Nehemiah. When you put your minds, when you have a mind to work, the Lord will do amazing things. So just to watch the different personalities, the different giftedness, I just kind of stood back and I was pretty blown away. I was thinking about this scripture. You know, like everyone said, for me personally, I think it'll take a while to, the Lord really stirred me in some really convicting ways, I think, and some real encouraging ways. But one thing that I like, it's in Hebrews in chapter 10, and it just says, "Let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water." And it says in verse 23, "Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promises faithful. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as in the manner of some, but encouraging one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching." Two things. One, I got down there first night, Saturday night, and I had the opportunity to share on Sunday morning, so I was crazy nervous as usual. And I was like, everything I prepared sounds so dumb. I don't even know what I'm going to do. I'm just like, but I walked outside and I looked up and I saw the exact same stars that you can see here when it's not pouring for the whole week that we're gone. And I looked up and I was just like, you know, it's not as big as we think it is, this world we live in. There was just something that the Lord encouraged me. He said, I'm everywhere. And your brothers and sisters are doing the same thing here that you guys are doing in Bellingham. So just encourage them with the word. So that was really cool for me. And also, one of my favorite things to do is sit around and enjoy a meal with someone. And so we sat down. I mean, Pastor Luis, his wife, their kids, all the other people that were helping out, we would hang out and be like 20 of us in a room. And you don't understand all the language that people are saying, but you just knew that they were full of the Holy Spirit and love for the Lord. And it was like sitting at this big family dinner. So I would just sit back and watch. And I was like, this is the same thing we do in Bellingham. And to just see the united, and it says that let us encourage one and consider one another and encourage one another. And I was so encouraged to continue what the Lord is doing here and at our home fellowship, and to just see that he's doing the same thing there. So to just think of the other people as we were there and then the hospitality we were shown, I was blown away. And I was like, you know what, though? That's the body of Christ. And why would it be any different if the Holy Spirit of God dwells in each one of us? We should be the same that way. And it was a testimony to we are. So thank you guys for your prayers. Obvious we were being prayed for because, I don't know. Things like this, they just don't happen without the Lord. As we saw how much work we were able to accomplish each day, there was no fighting. Nobody got sick, really, a little bit, but not too bad. Yeah, it was a good time. So thank you, guys. And there's so much more, so people will be able to share more as time goes on. So thanks.
If you're new here this morning, again, hopefully you feel welcomed in the love of God. But also to let you know, we have a daily Bible study that comes to your email at 1 a.m. You don't have to open it at 1. That's when it comes. And we're going through the Bible, and we're right where we're at today. It comes every day to you. When we finish Matthew, we'll be in Mark. So as a fellowship, we started in Galatians, but over time, we'll have the whole Bible. We'll have all notes for everything and the audio as well. So we encourage you to go to our website and sign up. You're going to look here in Matthew chapter 28, and in verse 1 it says, "Now after the Sabbath, as the first day of the week began, to dawn Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to the tomb, and behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it. His countenance was like lightning, and his clothing as white as snow. And the guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men. But the angel answered and said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He's not here. He's risen, as he said he would. Come and see the place where they laid him." And so quickly, and tell the disciples that he's risen from the dead, and indeed he is going before you into Galilee, and there you will see him. Behold, I have told you. And so they went out quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy, and ran to bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell the disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, "Rejoice." And so they came, and they said nothing to anyone. Oops, that's over in Mark. So they came and held him by the feet and worshiped him. And Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brethren to go to Galilee, and there they will see me." Let's pray. Father, in the short time that we have right now, it's so significant. As you want to help us understand all the reasons there are to rejoice in you, we ask your blessing and anointing in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. So as you're looking at your Bible text this morning, and by the way, if you ever forget your Bible, or if you bring a friend or somebody's new here, we have Bibles in the back. They're great Bibles, the Start Bible. If you don't have a Bible, and that would be your only Bible, take it as a gift from us. So in chapter 28, what's the first word that is in red? If you have such a red word in chapter 28, what's the first word that you see that's in red in your Bible? Excuse me? Rejoice. Okay, we're going to bring a message called Rejoice. We're going to use the letter in a way that you can remember it. For us as Christians, we're going to look at the word rejoice. We'll look at the first word, R, in rejoice. We're building our message around the word rejoice, but in a way you'll remember it. For me as a Christian, and for any Christian, there's only one reason that I can rejoice, and it's because Jesus Christ is resurrected. That's right. Without the resurrection, we are the most foolish of all people. So the reason that I rejoice is because Jesus Christ has risen from the dead. He is alive. He has conquered death. It's the only reason that we have to rejoice. The main reason is Christ has risen from the dead. If you have trouble with that, 1 Corinthians 15 is one that you might want to mark out for looking at further. Paul will even tell us that if Christ has not risen, then again, we are the most desperate of all people. We're so grateful for what Christ did in rising from the dead. How does that make a difference in my life? How could it make a difference in your life? Well, Jesus, in his gospel, in his ministry, in the last few hours on earth, over in John 14, understanding, of course, he's going to conquer death. He's going to rise from the dead. He understood that. So with his disciples who were bound up in fear and anxiety, he said, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God. You also believe in me." Jesus says, "In my Father's house, there's many mansions. And if it weren't so, I wouldn't tell you." So it is so. Jesus says, "Listen, I go and prepare a place for you, that I will come again and bring you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also." So it's answered for us. You know, in life, there's all kinds of religion, all kinds of philosophies that are out there. But for me, I have some questions that need to be answered. I want to know, when did life begin? When did death start? What happens when death happens? When did death ever begin in this world? The Bible has the answers for us. It speaks about how death entered into this world and into the human race. It tells us over in Romans, it's really interesting, in Romans 4 and 5, it breaks it out great. It says this: in Adam, all sin. Because of Adam's sin, we all sin. So the human race, I say, is S-I-N positive from Adam. And we're all from Adam. Would you agree? I'm not talking about the Adam's family. I'm just saying from Adam in the Bible, okay? Stay with me here. So we're, because of Adam's sin, the whole human race is S-I-N positive. It just is. However, because of Jesus Christ, again in Romans 5, because of his righteous act, this one person, Jesus Christ, because of his righteous act, his death, burial, resurrection, because of what he accomplished by this one person, we can all be set free through Jesus Christ. So by one person, Adam, we're all guilty. But the Bible speaks of Jesus Christ as the second Adam. And in Jesus Christ, we can all be forgiven if we accept and receive Jesus Christ. Is that good news? Well, that's reason to rejoice. And that's the word we're talking about. So how and why do I rejoice? As a Christian, I rejoice because of what Jesus Christ has accomplished for us. Where did he accomplish it at? On the cross. What did Jesus Christ do that has changed you completely for all eternity? What was it that he did? Rose from the dead, his resurrection. So the word rejoice, the letter R, the resurrection from the dead. You're going to go through all these letters. Look, Pastor, I've counted them all. There's seven. I'm looking at what time it is. Are you going to really do this or not? I mean, we've had like seven living epistles already today. Listen, stay with me. There's great reason to rejoice. All right? All right. So the E, if I'm going to rejoice, I'm rejoicing in the resurrection. But what is the E? I wonder what he's going to say. He's going to say escape. What do you mean? I can leave right now? No, stay here. We're not done. It means, listen, escape. We have, because of Christ's resurrection, we have escaped the consequences of sin. We've escaped death. And we've escaped being a slave to sin. Because of what Jesus Christ did on the cross, he rose again from the dead. We are literally set free by the power of his resurrection. We are set free even from the penalty of sin. It tells us, Paul speaking in 1 Corinthians, no temptation has seized you except what is common to man. And God is faithful. He won't let you be tempted beyond what you can bear, but with the temptation, he will provide the way of escape. Praise God. I have so many reasons to rejoice. First and foremost, Christ is risen from the dead. We serve a living God. He conquered death. And so therefore, we have life. And because of that, we escape the penalty or the consequences of death. We have eternal life. And also, we can live this life no longer being a slave to sin. Are you certain about that, Pastor? I still struggle with sin, and I don't know about that. The Bible tells us completely regarding this. We're not going to be sin-free. We will struggle, of course, because we have our fleshly nature still about us. But we don't have to be dominated by sin like we once were. This is the way Paul puts it in Romans chapter 6 and in verse 12. He says, therefore, do not let sin reign your mortal bodies that you should obey its lust. Do do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourself to God as being alive from the dead and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you're not under the law. You're under grace. Amen. We have great reason to rejoice. In Matthew's gospel, the first word that's recorded in Matthew's gospel from Jesus Christ is the word rejoice. From his resurrection in this gospel, it's not chronologically laid out, but here, the first word is rejoice. We're rejoicing today. Why are we rejoicing? In his resurrection, of course. Well, how does that affect you today? I don't have to be dominated by sin. I know where I'm headed. I'm headed to heaven. How can you be so certain? I said in John 14, Jesus says, I'm preparing the place. I'm going to get you. I'm going to bring you to myself. You know, Pastor, but I still struggle with, you know, am I supposed to like earn it or whatever? Well, that's a good question because the letter J is for justification. And with this idea of justification, Jesus Christ is the one that has justified us. We can't set ourselves right for eternity only through Jesus Christ. Here's what it says in Romans 5, 1. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. wow, this is really, truly reasons to rejoice. Of course it is. He's risen. He's risen indeed. I'm no longer a slave to sin. I know that when I live and finish whatever God has for me, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Are you boasting arrogantly about that? No, I'm boasting in Jesus Christ. I'm boasting in his work, his resurrection. Well, can't I work my way? No. The justification comes only through Jesus Christ and his work. Justified just as if I've never sinned. That seems too good to be true. Well, it's God's work and gift for you and for me. He has justified us. It's his work. He declares us righteous. Well, what difference should that make in my life today? Well, I should think it would make a lot of difference. I wonder what he's going to say for O. I've been thinking about that all along. Wonder what that letter O is going to be. Well, I'm sure it can be a lot of things, but in this Bible study, the O is for overcomers. What? Yeah, absolutely. Here's what John the Apostle said, but in 1 John 5, verse 4, he says, "For whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God?" You know, there's a lot of ministries out there that help people. And many times you try to think of a name that helps identify a specific type of ministry. I think the word overcomers is a great biblical word for a name of a ministry helping people. The overcomers. In other words, we were once dominated by sin. It affected our lives. It affected other relationships. But we realized the resurrection of Christ. We trusted Christ for our salvation. And we rejoice in escaping the penalty that was due us. It was put on Christ. And I'm no longer a slave to sin. I rejoice that I've been justified. It seems as though the enemy comes in my mind and in my heart and says, "You call yourself a Christian, but look what you were thinking. Look what you were doing." And I can respond in my own heart as I take my thoughts obedient to Christ. I've been justified not by my works, by the work of Jesus Christ on the cross. He said, "It is finished." And I believe him. And therefore, I'm justified. And because I'm justified, I'm a part of a group of other Christians called overcomers. Welcome, brothers and sisters, overcomers in Christ Jesus. You know, in the book of Revelation, chapters 2 and 3, it speaks about seven specific churches, literal churches when it was written, seven churches in chapters 2 and 3 in the book of Revelation. Jesus had a message for those churches, and the message to those churches are a message to this church here. And it's a message to this individual and to every believer. But you know how Jesus ends each letter to every church? Each letter of all seven letters to the churches, each letter is end with "those who have overcome." He ends it using this word "overcomer" to the overcomers. And he speaks about the blessing we have in him as an overcomer. Wow, I never knew that. Well, of course, it's reason to rejoice today. He's risen from the dead. He is alive. That's why we're believers. That's why we believe in Jesus Christ. Now, because of all of this, it really affects our life and our future. There is an inheritance that is for us. Peter, I believe, in his epistle, explains it this way. In Peter's epistle, he tells us in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3, he says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercies has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." Now here's the I. "To an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, and it does not fade away. It's reserved in heaven for you." Is that great news? It's reserved in heaven for you. In other words, your arrival in heaven isn't as though Jesus has to go, "Let's see, what was your last name again? Did you make reservations? Look, your name is written in the book of life. And he has this place prepared. And he is Lord over our lives. And he knows when our last breath here is on earth and our first breath in heaven, or however we could explain it. He knows all of that. And what he's saying to us right now, hey, wait a minute. Have a eternal perspective. Have a godly perspective. Just understand that while you're here right now, I'm working in your life. You're experiencing the new life of the Spirit through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. The same Spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead, it tells us in Romans 8, that same Spirit lives in each one of us. That's why when you go to a mission and you're with other believers, as was stated beautifully, there's the unity of the Spirit. It happens right there, right then. You know what? During this whole time, when they were in Mexico, we also had a team, as you know, that went to Wenatchee, helping out with a Christian camp there of a Calvary Chapel. So two works happening simultaneously, involved with other Christians, other ministries, other pastors. Then at the same time, a third ministry happening, because Bernardo and Anna went to the Philippines and was with Wayne, who left here as Wayne, and I believe is Pastor Wayne now, just that God has gathered a group and a fellowship around, and they were there to encourage Pastor Wayne and also to help in training some of the people that are serving there at that same time. So at the same time, you see a work with a body of believers in Mexico, a work in Wenatchee, a work in the Philippines, but at the same time, Joel and Carrie are helping to establish a discipleship training base in Florida. So that's happening at the same time. Just the way God is working in and through our fellowship in our lives. At the same time, we have Brooke and Billy over, and they're taking refugees that are coming out of Syria, and they're part of a ministry called Frontier, and part of us were part of preparing them and helping them be able to go there. And I send him an email. He's not much on writing back, but I send him things every week. But what I sent today was this, and I send this same sort of thing to other pastors. There's around 24 or so that I ask God to help me encourage these men in different places each week. So today it was from Proverbs: know well the condition of your flock and put your heart into caring for your herds. For riches do not last forever, nor does a worldly crown endure to all generations. Proverbs 27. And then I said, Brother Billy, we are called shepherds, not CEOs in this world of rapid changes. We must keep our hands to the plow and our eyes on Jesus. He will reward our faithfulness, not our results. He's holding your crown that does not fade away. And he responded, which he seldom does, I love hearing from you. It always feels like God encourages me or gives me a little nugget of wisdom. So thanks for writing. I was just talking with my team leader about how to help the local pastors here deal with the issues of running the refugees relief out of their churches. Our friend is admittedly neglecting his flock and is very stretched by the opportunity and has to, you know, in his love for the refugees. One of my first thoughts was that his responsibilities were forcing him to become a manager of the business at his church. Please pray for wisdom as we all sort out how to encourage this brother and possibly even how to help share the load he currently carries. So here's just a scripture out of Proverbs that I think God has given to me that I share with somebody. And it's what he needed to hear from the Lord to share with another pastor in a work. What am I saying? I'm saying God is working in our lives. God is alive. He's risen from the dead. He's working in us and through us. He's working around the world through his Spirit, through his word, through the believers. And it is a great joy because we celebrate his resurrection. We've escaped the power and penalty of sin. We've been justified. We're overcomers. We read about the inheritance, and we have the letter C in the word rejoice. And the letter C is for the word cross. When we look at our lives and we look what Christ has done for us, we think about the cross. It's an empty cross. He's risen from the dead. But as we were completing Matthew, and in Matthew 27, we realized that there were people that were gathered around the cross And they were saying all kinds of insulting things to Jesus in Matthew 27. They said such statements as, "He saved others, himself he cannot save. If he is the king of Israel, let him come down from the cross and we will believe in him." Praise God he didn't come down from the cross. He certainly could have. But because he is Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, it wasn't the nails that held him on the cross, as you know. It was his love for you, his love for me. And he chose not to come down from the cross. He chose to die a death on the cross for us. So, Pastor, I understand that. I understand he died on the cross for my sins. He was buried. He rose again from the dead. And I understand that. And because of that, I'm justified. But why do you bring up the cross right now? Because it's like looking back. Here's why. Paul in his ministry and everything that he was talking about, he says it is all centered around Jesus Christ and the cross of Jesus Christ. That still confuses me. Like, can you make it a little bit clearer? Okay, here's the thing. In our lives, your life, my life, we go through great difficulties. We do. In this world, we have tribulations. It's true. So what happens is we become looking inside of us. And the emotions overrule us. And things get confusing. And we can be tossed to and fro emotionally. But we look to the cross. See, we go back and we look to the cross. Our eyes are on Jesus Christ. And we realize this is what it's about. It's not about me. It's about him. It's about what he did for me. And he's asked me to deny myself and to follow him. It puts things in perspective immediately. When I think about the cross, it gives me the perspective I need to handle my current situation. When I think about the cross, then I know the Lord will meet me with his word, with his comfort, with his Holy Spirit. When I think about the cross, I know it's the power of God for us. It's the cross of Christ. And too many churches have taken the message of the cross away. And when the cross is taken out, there is no power, just human effort. All of our work is through Jesus Christ. And finally, the letter E. The letter E is going to help us for next week's message, because the letter E is for the word everyone. If you'll notice, next Sunday, our concluding message in Matthew, it tells us in Matthew chapter 28, it tells us in verse 19, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations." As the worship team comes up, I want to conclude, and as you stand, I want to conclude this message. So let's stand, worship team, one final song. What I said this morning through God's word, in a very taking that word rejoice and kind of summarizing where we're at as believers, everything is because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, giving us a reason to rejoice. If you have not escaped the penalty of hell, death and hell, if you're still bound up in your sin, then it's time to get right with Jesus and say, "Jesus, I need forgiveness." As a believer, if you're bound up in sin, you need to say, "Jesus, I need forgiveness for my sins." Get right with God right now and enjoy and rejoice in the justification. Be a part of the overcomers walking in the Spirit and letting the Spirit of God dominate our lives. Thank God he's got the future taken care of with our inheritance. Thank God for the cross of Jesus Christ. It's where the power is at. And I'm so excited that all of this is for this whole world. God does not discriminate in these times of high intensity of diversity. It's a message for the world. We're all sinners. We all can receive it. Amen. Let's worship God.